And heading into our home improvement section this afternoon, and I know that there are a number of people out there who rush off when the winter starts, and it's a situation of, you know, my roof is leaking and I got a problem and the walls are peeling with damp. Or should we go out there and go and buy one of those panel heaters? Should we buy an electric heater? Should we buy? And it's all of those winter questions that you normally get asked when you're in a DIY store. But this afternoon, it's welcome back to Mr. DIY himself, Angelo D'Ambrosio of IPMT, Remedial Building Consultants and Paint Project Management, who joins us in studio this afternoon for our general sort of segment. And because we're having a bit of a spot of a problem with the WhatsApp line, you're going to have to call us on 021-446-0567. So give us a call on 021-446-0567. Of course, we've got a bit of a surprise this afternoon, Angela. We're making this show very exciting today because we are going to be starting to give away to the person who gives us the best call today on the show on 021-446-0567. You're going to win yourself a 5-liter container of ABE Super Lakehold waterproof paint and membrane.
Correct.
In other words, when they walk into the shop, they always ask me for pop and lop.
Pop and lop, yeah, that's it.
This is valued at about 200 Rand. And Angelo will tell us about, you know, this particular paint. What's unique about the Super Lakehold? Because there's so many things on the market. What makes this ABE Super Lakehold special?
Okay, so first of all, it comes with a 7-year guarantee. Okay, that's the first thing. The second thing is it actually gets sold with a membrane, which is quite nice. So the membrane is very specific to the product.
And the membrane is free.
Well, it's all part of the package. You get a package, whether it's priced in or not. That's not for me to comment on. That would be the supplier. But generally, they say it's free with the 5-liter of the product. Okay, so it's. Listen, this stuff's got great adhesion. It's non-toxic. You could use it in like koi ponds and. More importantly, it's water-based. So, as you say, pop and lup, a water-based pop and lup system, great for flashings, for that sort of stuff. You know, it's really, get in there, I've got a problem on my roof, let me go and patch it.
And it's fantastic on your parapet walls because, you know, and a lot of people don't seal the top part of the parapet wall. They seal around where, you know, the IBR sheeting is, and they don't seal on top of that because this is fantastic to actually seal on top of that wall.
Correct. You know, I've got a policy in my business where walls of a specific width, we will use a membrane system. And when they're less than that, we use a fiber-reinforced system, which is a coating with fiber reinforcement in it. But that depends on the width and the type of structural movement and cracks that are currently on the wall. So, yeah. But this also, the Super Lakehold also comes in various colors, which is great. So you could use it on, for example, if you have the tiles, you know, the old cement tiles and the ridging is cracked. This works perfectly for that as well.
There we go. And we're giving away a 5-liter of that on 021-446-0567. If you'd like a 5-liter of that together with the membrane, you can give us a call. The very first question is always a bit of a nightmare where you get people saying, my son stained car oil on our paving because the son was probably working with a motorbike on the outside. It gets unsightly marks. How do you get that off? I got a neighbor of mine who just put washing powder on it. Some of it came out, but some of it didn't. So this is the biggest fear when you've got paving and you've got a leaking oil.
Okay. So, you know, first of all, one has to understand, you know, it's easy to blame the son. It might be that the parents bought a car that's known for leaking oil. No. But generally, it soaks into whatever substrate is there. And that's the hard part. Mm. Cleaning the surface stuff is quite easy. So if it's a paver, you could turn the paver around. Okay. Quite simple.
Never thought of that.
Okay.
Eh?
If it's into cement and stuff like it, then it's a little bit more difficult. You know, you start to use a degreaser, but the degreaser only takes off a certain level of, to a certain depth. It doesn't go all the way. So it depends on the stain and how it's left there. But what I like to do is I like to get, you can get a plastic, a mat or like these little clipping mats that you get for the back of vehicles and garages, and you put that underneath the car where the car would leak oil, and generally the oil falls onto that, and that you can just wipe off and clean because it's literally not, it's not porous. So those are the best thing. But you know, there a lot of the degreaser, you get environmental degreasers, those are the type of things that would clean that to a degree.
It's a nightmare. It actually is a nightmare, yeah. Because you know, you want to buy your son this Lekachor, which is kind of like, you know, it's a cheap vehicle for him to get around. But it's leaking oil all over your place, and it's a thing to the sink. Go into the hardware store, yeah. And make sure that you chat to the guys there. They'll probably give you the proper thing to clean it up. We got Jonathan in Claremont with a question very quickly. Jonathan, a very good afternoon to you. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Good afternoon to you too.
Your question?
We've been in the process of we need to replace our storeroom roof because it's taken a lot of water damage, and in doing that, it also involves replacing flashing and all of that waterproofing stuff that you were mentioning now. But in addition to that, it's an external RBR metal roof, and we put our tumble dryer in there, so it creates a bit of warm, humid air. And I wonder if we should be installing underlay with a sheeting to prevent condensation from getting onto the ceiling boards that would be between the RBR metal roof and the internal of the storeroom.
Yeah. Normally on a house, you'll get an underlay, which is a plastic underlay before they pack the tiles on top of them. That does quite a bit of the sort of, yeah, solves quite a bit of the problem. Your answer there, Angela?
Listen, you get a product called Sisolation S405. It's a silver type product that you can put on as well. Okay, that will give you some protection onto the roof sheet. However, ventilation becomes essential. Whether you just have a small little air vent extractor fan or something in the room that can you know, sort of connect to the same plug as the tumble dryer. So when it's on, the air vent is on, or it switches on with a light or something like that. So then at least you can, when it's on, it pulls out a lot of the moisture.
Jonathan, okay. Thanks for the call. I hope that answers your question. And best of luck with putting some underlay or getting that the metal sheeting on the roof done. It just depends on how big that storeroom is. Eh? If it's a domestic storeroom, you could probably get away with it. But if it's a commercial storeroom, you need to get somebody in there properly to have
probably,
a look at it.
You'd have probably put some whirlies in as well. You know, whirlies are the things on top that
turbines spin,
they go so fast. That would take out a lot of moisture as well. But, you know, that we're talking about sort of industrial type storerooms, etc. I'm assuming it's at home, it's a tumble dryer area, it's like a spare room on the outside or something to that effect.
Yeah. Somebody's asked, you know, with winter and summer and with the different sort of, you know, temperatures where it's cold in the winter, and a lot of people will tell you it's the best time to build and the best time to do. What is the best time to remodel your home? Because I can't understand why builders go on a holiday in December when it's the busiest time and the nicest weather.
Okay, so this is an ongoing debate. Okay, I find any work with plaster, et cetera, because it takes slightly longer to cure in winter. It's not as hot. There's less wind in Cape Town. It cures harder. Okay. However, certain waterproofing products can't be put on anything that's damp. Paint cannot be put on anything that's wet or damp. So it's sort of a catch. You know, you can do half and half. I like to do a lot of the structural work, in other words, the plastering, the slabs, etc., and so forth. It's probably better to do it in winter, I find, because I find it just cures much harder.
Chatting to Angelo D'Ambrosio, Managing Member at IPMT this afternoon, about your DIY questions. 0214460567 if you'd like to give us a call, if you have any questions for Angelo, and if you want to be one of the winners or a winner of a 5-liter Super Lakehold ABE, which is right here with me in studio. Normally, during the course of winter, you find all these problems arising, like, for instance, mist and damp on your windows. I have a habit of getting up in the morning and seeing whether it's raining, and you find this damp on the window. How do we actually get rid of it? Why is it there, first of all?
Okay, so there's two things. So first of all is condensation. I mean, generally, if a room is closed and you were cooking in the kitchen, you know, you're going to get you're going to get condensation developing on the windows. It's colder outside than it is inside, so condensation develops. And the same principle. So generally, if you're not airing the place or the windows aren't open and there's a lot of people breathing in the room and cooking, etc., then you're going to get that. Okay? You need to vent. You need to have an air vent to allow the steam or the moisture out. Okay? Then, more overseas, we get quite a lot that where there, because of the extreme temperature differences, there's almost instant condensation on the windows and walls, etc. Because it's so cold outside and so warm inside that it happens very quickly.
Mm. Why don't they build homes with those air vents, you know?
I ask myself the same, I ask myself the same question. All the time. It sort of went out of fashion in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I think the way people are building nowadays, I think it's essential that it actually comes back. Because we need air vent in the cavities. We need water, air to flow through so it can dry the cavities.
Yeah. And you find a three-story building, not a single vent. And I was renting a place on the beachfront in Tableview. And you could actually literally put your hand on the wall and wipe it off and the water would run down. And that leads to dampen it leads to mold on the walls.
Sure. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's essential that wall breathes.
Yeah. We have a call from Willie out in Durbanville. A very good afternoon to you. You have a question for Angela?
Hi, Angela. Good afternoon to you.
Yes.
I've got this corrugated iron, and then butting up to the corrugated iron, I've got this corrugated fiberglass.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the between the two, it leaks. Now I want to put a cloth with this water damping this damping, what do you call the stuff, the paint,
the super lacquered.
Yeah, what do I need? Can I use anything special, or can I just use any cloth, or is there anything I need to know about it? Because it's two different materials.
There's
fiberglass and metal.
First of all, the fiberglass, how old is it? Because it can become very brittle. Okay.
It's brittle. I've had a look.
All right. Secondly, does the fiberglass go underneath the existing sheeting?
No, it goes over.
It goes over the existing sheeting?
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, to me, it should go underneath.
No.
Okay. If it goes underneath, then you're not trapping. If it goes over, water can get in underneath.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's butting up, that's also a problem because that joint can also be a problem. So the best thing is to have it underneath. Second,
the corrugated iron goes underneath.
Oh, so he's got fiber sheeting, which is the see-through or the green fiber sheeting, and underneath that he's got corrugated iron.
Yeah,
I suppose the one is because what happens is that
there is an overlap.
Mm, so what happens is that You've got a window and you actually want the fiberglass sheeting there so you don't get the sun trapped. After that, you've got IBR sheeting.
No, I fully understand. But what I'm saying is that the fiberglass sheeting should be underneath the corrugate, because then you can seal that joint much easier. When it's on top, you're almost creating a barrier to the path of the water.
Okay.
Okay. So that would be your first thing. The second thing is you could use the pup and lup system as commonly called it. It's quite good. But remember, when you do this type of thing, pup and lup, it comes with a maintenance. You need to maintain it, because if you don't maintain it eventually breaks down. So, and there are other peel and stick systems that you can use as well. You know, but for me, you want something that's, because if a roof sheet gets pretty hot and if it's a bitumen-based peel and stick thing, sometimes they tend to slip, especially if it gets very hot. So I would use something like super lacquered. I think that will work very well for your purpose.
And then do I need to prep the fiberglass to sand it down to get a rough edge? Or?
Well, I mean, if it's pretty old, it's probably quite weathered already. I'll just make sure it's pretty clean.
Yeah. What did you clean it with? Something like a test or something?
Yeah, clean it with a bit of sunlight, soap, and water.
Yeah.
Willie,
what I've also found is the best thing to do is to take about a half a liter of the super lacquered out. Take that, mix that into another half a liter of water, shake that up quite vigorously, and probably use that as a primer to clear off any dust from the surface.
Well, it all depends on the porosity. No. That's not going to work on a corrugated sheet. Okay, so That would work if you were doing a raw cement wall or something to that effect. But on a corrugated and fiberglass, I'd use it as it comes. Probably the better way.
I think let's do it that way because I've been lazy enough as it is, and that's why I've got
trouble. Dude, you're going to get into trouble, mate. You're going to get into trouble.
Oh, I've done it already. No, bloody. I've got to have it done by tomorrow. So.
Thanks very much, Willie out in Durbanville. I think, you know, he's another one of those people who think that the leaking situation is going to go away and come back again next winter, and you don't have to actually fix it. Chatting to Angelo D'Ambrosio this afternoon, managing member at IPMT, and all of your calls, you could stand a chance of winning that fantastic prize with us. I have an asbestos roof that was painted years ago. It's now peeling. Why? That's Cedric in Crawford. Hi, Cedric. Your question.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I've got an asbestos roof. I had it pressure cleaned, high pressure cleaned, and then I had it painted. It was about 5 years ago. It's now very unsightly. It's starting to peel. Did I use, or the person I got to do the job, did they use the wrong paint? Or and then also, do I have to clean the roof again? And when is the best time to do it?
Okay, so first of all, it's asbestos. Okay, so that comes with its own issues. You need to keep that in mind. Secondly, the regulations on asbestos look like they will be changing again by December, probably in 6 months' time, and where there will be very strict, much stricter regulations around asbestos. So that's the first thing. Second thing, with regards to your coating that's on there, we're assuming you used a roof paint. Okay. I don't know what sort of preparation he did, but generally roof paint tends to fade rather than peel. If it peels, that's generally got to do with adhesion or lack of proper preparation.
Okay.
And then, so to clean it, you normally would high pressure clean it. Just remember about the asbestos regulations. You need to get off all that loose stuff. You need to put a primer on, and then you can recoat with a roof paint. But now, remember, roof paint takes a lot of beating from the elements, so it's essential that you have the right thickness of coating on your roof, because if you don't, your roof paint tends to disintegrate and break a lot quicker. It's vitally important.
Okay and can I do this myself and just buy the stuff, or must I get a specialist?
No, you don't have to get a specialist. Just that's something you can do yourself, but please just be safe on the roof, number one. Number two, asbestos over years becomes friable and it could break, so you know, you could be walking on it, you can put your foot through it, so be very careful with that. And then just make sure you follow all the legislation around asbestos.
Okay. Last question. Yeah. It appears as if there's airline cracks in it, in the asbestos, because when it's storming, I can hear a few drops dripping in.
Yeah,
the,
you see.
It's only when it's storming, but other than that, it doesn't seem to come through or penetrate. So,
This is my dilemma. When you clean something like fiber cement or asbestos, generally fungal growth and dirt actually blocks those cracks. When you start cleaning it, you clean them all out and you expose those cracks again, which means you could be exposing yourself to more damage after you've washed the roof. And then you would need to make sure that you definitely use a membrane system over those cracks. But you know, with old cement, with old the asbestos, it becomes so, there's so many of them that you literally be coating your entire roof.
We go, Cedric. I think we've just given you a couple of headaches with a few grandpa tablets, and with asbestos, it is actually a lot wiser to actually save up and somewhere along the line put on a new roof.
Yeah, there's always that debate about recoating and prepping as opposed to replacing. It's a big question, and it depends on budgets at this point. You know, really, some people just can't afford it because roofing is relatively expensive.
It is, yes. 021-446-0567. We'd love to hear from you. And there's a competition running. We've got a 5-liter Super Lakel to give away. Here's a question very quickly, Angelo. And it's is it generally easy enough to install a cat flap in a panel of solid wood? And how would you go about that if the panel is double glazed?
Okay, well, so the cat flap, right? The cat flap generally comes pre-made.
Yeah.
You know, so all the frame and the subframes would all be there. So basically, all you would do is have to cut out the the hole as the dimensions as per the instructions and insert the cat flap. Solid wood obviously just makes it slightly more difficult to cut.
So you'd basically mark off the cat flap, drill a hole,
and then
use your jigsaw to go and do. And I think you drill four holes in all four of the corners, and then the panel is
easy.
It's
probably easier to drill four holes because then you've got four fixed points in which the jigsaw stops.
Yeah.
Or you go to.
And actually, if that is a weather door, for instance, facing a weather side, how would I seal it?
I would use a polyurethane underneath there as well, something like Sikaflex 11FC, which not only adds to the strength or the binding strength of the flap to the door, but also is elastic, number one, because you've got two different density products and they move differently, and then also really sort of binds it. So it will be a little bit more difficult to take off if someone tried to.
Sue out in the Darling area giving us a call, and she says she wants to warn us a little bit about asbestos roofing. And, you know, asbestos probably was one of the materials used at that time. We just didn't know what the impact would be later on in years. Sue, very good afternoon. Your comments for Angela?
Yes, I have actually. In no way should anyone touch anything if they're suspicious that it's asbestos. Having lost both my parents, age 49, well, when they were 49, to cancer, asbestosis, cancer caused by asbestos, I know quite a lot about it, and there is absolutely no way. You call in hazmat if it's a suspicion of you can't touch asbestos, because if you just touch it, you're likely to damage it, and it's like dust in the air, and you get one of those dust particles in your chest. And it causes cancer.
Sue,
30
thanks.
Years later.
Sue,
okay.
Thanks very much for your call. And that's Sue all the way from Darling. Comments on that, Angela?
Listen, there's a big debate about asbestos. It used to be called the miracle fiber because yes, there are situations where you need to take advice. Okay. I did mention quite clearly a number of times to this gentleman.
Yes.
There's legislation and there's people involved with getting, and that's vitally important. Okay. The fact that you can't touch it, I disagree with. Okay. I think you can touch it as long as you've got the right people guiding tools, you and giving you the advice. All right. Asbestos, if it's coated, it's a lot safer than if it was uncoated, for example. The problem is when asbestos breaks and it becomes friable and it's powdery, that's where the problems start to come in. But this is a long debate and a long discussion, and I think it needs its own show to have this discussion.
I think we're going to have that discussion maybe sometime during the course of next week, exactly what is the legislation around asbestos, because the old council houses and the old houses in your Bonteville area, Haderfeld area, still in Hanover Park, those homes still have asbestos.
Correct, they have the big six asbestos sheets on.
Yes, and it was the greatest thing. Now we are told that NewTek is probably the nicest alternative, but I'll leave that up to you. Angela, thanks so much for coming in this afternoon, and have